Lucy, I'm home.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. I'm your host, Lucy.
And I'm Erica.
And today we are talking about the episode, Ricky Thinks He's Getting Bald. It's season one, episode 34. Guys, we only have one more episode.
For this season.
Right. I told Colin, I was like, we just had to choose the series with ginormous amount of episodes.
They were ambitious in season one. They had a lot of material and just squeezed it into one season.
So it aired June 2nd, 1952, directed by Mark Daniels, written by Jess Oppenheimer, Madeline Pugh, and Bob Carroll Jr. It was filmed April 25th, 1952. The synopsis basically is that Ricky starts to fret over having a receding hairline and Lucy tries to help him. It's a pretty straightforward episode it all goes.
And probably not how we would all handle a conversation like this, but that's what makes it special, I think. Although, if the receding hairline was the only thing he had to worry about and what women have to worry about, I think you're okay, Mr. Ricardo.
You're right.
Yes.
The inspiration for this episode actually came from Jess Oppenheimer. The torture treatment. He went through something a little bit similar when he first started losing his hair. And he tried out I don't know which one. I think the one that
the contraption
circles around his head. Yeah. He actually tried that on himself to try to. Thankfully, Colin never went through that phase. He just shaved it all off.
Yeah.
So when you do start balding and are combing over, I just think it makes you look older. And I mean, it made Colin look quite a bit older.
Well, celebrities sometimes you'll see just shave it off. I mean, they'll start with, like you say, trying to preserve the sides and then start looking older and then just let it go. And somehow that just totally brings it.
It makes them look much, much more youthful.
Mm-hmm.
Youthful. We can get into it and then we can talk about some more of what Jess Oppenheimer thought about this episode. Or do you want to talk about that first?
Oh, well, let's open it up. So they start off, like we mentioned, with... Lucy's looking in the mirror because, you know, she's combing her hair,
doing those like 100 strokes.
Yeah. She's getting ready for bed and, she's noticing crow's feet, which, you know, the majority of us have. I mean, I probably have more than you, Ziva.
No, I'm just kidding.
Because I'm just so much older,
but ancient.
Yes. But, so she's explaining to Ricky that she, you know, would he still love her or like her with the crow's feet and in other words, getting older. Of course, I'd love it with the crow's feet. You don't even know what those are. Yeah, they're like pigeon toes.
He's like, you do not have crow's feet.
Yeah.
She's like, well, you know, I knew the day would come when, you know, I would have crow's feet and you would have a receding hairline. And that's when he starts freaking out. First of all, I just want to say there's a lot of smoking in this episode. He smokes getting into bed. I mean, he doesn't sleep in bed, but he's sitting on the side of his bed.
The idea.
And there's smoke. I was like, I wouldn't want to smoke in my bedroom, but I'm not a smoker. So maybe, I don't know, maybe it's just second
nature.
It's an acquired,
Yeah,
he starts to freak out as soon as she says receding hairline because he's vain.
Well, what I love is that really caught his attention more so than his wife. One with the crow's feet, but yeah, so you know she brought attention to his hairline receding, and you know, now he's staring in the mirror with his eyes bulging, you know, trying to figure out where this is happening, and she's a bit oblivious, which is kind of funny, and he does those funny poses to kind of get the look behind him with the mirror. Kind of like when they spin you around, you know, in a salon and they're like, turn around and here's the mirror and you're trying to figure out, you know.
I could never see it that well. So, I'm just like, yeah, it's fine.
It's so funny because I'm like, oh, yeah, looks good.
I can see it. Yeah, it's great.
So, you know, she's like, oh, you make a great fountain because his leg's up in the air. He's really trying to find a position to see behind him.
To see his hair. And when he does stand up or sit up again, you can see a St. Christopher medal. I just like to...
You spot the metal. Yeah,
I do. Well, you can't see the metal per se, but you can see the chain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do love the way his eyes get even bigger, if that's possible, when she says it's receded a quarter of an inch.
You think it's that much?
Yeah, she's just not making it better, because then she calls him Baldy.
I love that she's just messing with him. Yeah, you know,
she's not doing it maliciously. She's just, oh, this is fine. You're gonna.
She's getting a kick out of it. Right? It's like hilarious. Yeah. Yeah. So she's just calls him Baldy, and he's like, Baldy. And then if he says something in Spanish, which you know, he says they're gonna call me Baldy like they do here in this country. That's what they call bald men, you know. And so he's going to bed with that in mind, panicking.
Yeah, he can't sleep. She's probably restful.
She's very restful with her crow's feet. Her and her crow's feet are fast asleep.
Just put some moisturizer on, right?
Sure. Like, yeah.
But
see, so I think what's funny there is, as women, for the majority of women, we're just prone to always look for something from when we were kids, I think. So always look for, you know, dye your hair, do something, makeup. And so we think about it all the time. You know, there's things being sold to you left and right since you're very young. So when a man who doesn't pay as much attention to his vanity, there are exceptions, then you get the, you know, the panicking, freaking out of news that your hairline is receding. So I think that's the point there.
Yeah, definitely when it's not actually a problem. Like,
right.
He doesn't have a bald spot. He's not, you know, anyways,
he'll be okay.
He's fine. I love that. So it cuts to her, Lucy, in the kitchen the next morning. She's getting breakfast ready. And I love her whole appearance in mm-hmm. this, for like this shot. I like her apron a lot, and I like the dress that she's wearing. But yeah, he comes in with a hat.
He's wearing a hat.
And she asks him why. And it's his turn to just say something like off the hook. Like, what did he say? It might rain today. And she said, yeah, the ceiling looks cloudy. And then he looks at her like she's so weird.
Yeah.
I was like, why are you looking at her like she's crazy? You're the one who said it's going to rain.
I think it's because it's supposed to give you the impression that he spent all night thinking about this. He woke up thinking about this, and that's all on his mind. And the fact that she's not freaking out along with him,
he's still making jokes,
he's you know, astonished at that. But she says he feels like she's eating in a beanery. It's like a coffee shop where, you know, they were mainly, it was like a, you know, a rush during those times. They'd existed more during this particular time, 1950s, and you know, men were always wearing hats because they were in a rush getting to work, things like that, to stop off, like a coffee shop. She leaves and comes back with her own hat, because again, she's continuing to mock him, which
I love how she does it so quietly. Like, she doesn't say anything or bring attention to it. She just sits right down.
And she's just wearing it.
I just wanted to say just a little bit more about the beanery. It was a coffee shop. It was a coffee shop called Chock Full O' Nuts. And then it later became a supermarket. But they started in Manhattan, and then in 1931, and they actually are still around today, not in Ohio, but they, not that I know of, they could be. If you're in Ohio and you know of one, let me know.
Uh-huh.
But like you were saying, yeah, they'd stop in for just like a quick bite, quick cup of coffee, and so they wouldn't take their hats off because they were just go, go, go. Yeah, so I love, first of all, like we were saying, how she just wears the hat, and then I love his reaction when he sees her wearing this hat, and she's like, yeah, you're right, the ceiling doesn't look any too safe.
Oh my god, she's so not taking it serious. And
she also catches his toast in her hat.
Yes, that toaster, it flies up in the air, she catches it with the hat. You know, he's getting upset that she's not taking it serious.
Are they eating grapefruit?
Yes, and he doesn't even finish with the grapefruit because he's so distracted with his hat and his hair loss.
Have you ever eaten grapefruit? I need to plug my
It's been ages since I've had grapefruit. It's a little too sour for my taste. I'm more of an orange type gal.
Don't people like put sugar on it?
They do. And it can also be used for juice and things like that. But no,
I've never eaten grapefruit. Yeah. So
I don't think you're missing out on much. I mean, just skip over to the orange. Yeah, so he's, you know, getting ready to leave to work. And, it, you know, the next scene is Fred and Ethel coming in. And she's about to speak to him, or she looks concerned. So she's telling him that Ricky is really concerned about this hair loss, you know. And I think Ethel starts to laugh because it's preposterous to think. I mean, he does have a big, thick head of hair.
Yeah, there's really no reason for him to be freaking out. And Ethel, that's, I think that's what her... I mean, look, if he really had a, yeah,
behind me, there's a whole head of hair.
If he really had a problem, I don't think she would have laughed nearly as hard.
Like, right.
If he was actually thinning or receding, but he wasn't. So,
and then Fred, of course, chimes in with, "It's no laughing matter, Ethel. I should know now that my hairline is starting to recede." And I, this, again, the women are spicy here. They're with brutal. with the comebacks. "Oh, honey, you're not starting, your hairline's not starting to recede. Let me see. Turn around."
I love how he like pulls the little tuft of hair.
Right. Like he's Elvis. My eyes. Yeah. So he's definitely much more on the balding side, and you know, Ethel's having a field day with that. So I guess to start discussing scalp treatments that they could potentially, could, because Fred says, you know, a man will try anything if he thinks he's going bald. I mean, welcome to our world. You should see what we do. We put all kinds of masks and things all over our faces that we swear are working, but probably just corporate America just telling us that they're working. But anyway.
Placebo effects, right?
Mm-hmm.
But so she decides she's going to go down to the shop, which, are there shops like this that are just fully hair regrowing shops?
Well, I have never seen one. I've never come across one, and I've never looked for one. I would assume it's like a hair, more like a dermatologist you would go to for that. Like a
treatment center?
Yeah, but this is like literally just a for... a shop for hair things, which sounds like a plausible thing, but here it's more like a hair loss store more than like shampoos and conditioners. This is more like, well, you'll see. I mean, the we'll talk about it. The contraptions and the, you know, ridiculous things that they sell to stimulate hair growth, which I'm sure none of those work, but you know.
We're going to have one bald person that's like, really worked for me. Maybe, maybe it'll be a good thing. We can hear about it. But yeah, all of the stories I've heard are that they're probably money, you know, it's kind of like the weight loss stuff, you know, like if it says it's going to help you real quick, it's not going to help you.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So she does go to a, like you said, a hair shop where they have vibration suction devices. I mean, I know it sounds funny because you don't know what exactly I'm describing, but I swear it's for hair loss. It's that's how it's described, for vibration and suction devices. And Lucy is losing it. And
anyways,
agitators. And she asks, you know, the owner of the shop, she tells him to give her the one that hurts the most and smells the worst.
Yes. But so before this, they actually thought, well, the shop owner thinks that she's coming in for herself.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. How bald are you?
I was going to say, like, they're always so mean about her hair. I feel like the writers are always putting in jibes about her hair. The shop owner was played by Milton Pearson Parsons. This is the only appearance in the series, but he does... or he did appear in a bunch of Broadway plays between 1930s and 1950s. And he was in, I think, four films with William Frawley, the most popular of which was the 1942 Rock's Heart, which starred the Ginger Rogers, and was later the basis of the musical Chicago. He had a good career
in
him. She buys all of this stuff, and then she can't use it.
She can't go through with it.
She can't bring herself to be that mean to Ricky,
because it's like intense. It's literal, like, you know, machines that'll be sitting on his head and vibrating and all kinds of stuff.
Okay, question: do you have like a reading area or like a sit down area in your bedroom? Because I see, like, even not even just older TV shows, but even like in newer TV shows, they'll have, you know, chairs or like a,
well, I have like a loft couch area, and, but I don't like specify it for reading. I mean, reading is just,
I just mean wherever. Like an area, like a sit down area, oh, that's, yeah, other than your bed in, oh, your, yes, bedroom.
Oh, I have a couch, sure. There's a couch in the corner. So I would assume that's an area.
Okay, exactly, yeah, what I'm talking about. Yeah.
I mean, yes, I do.
Because I was like, our bedroom has our bed. That's all we do. But to be fair, our bedroom fits just. It's a very small bedroom.
It's literally a bedroom.
Yes. Yes. It's a room for our bed. But I found that interesting. And I was like, that could be comfy. But anyways, Lucy's smoking again, chilling, yeah, in her room. And her and Ethel are chatting again about how, you know, like, I couldn't go through with it. I think what I'm going to do is invite a bunch of bald people over.
Okay, let me stop you there for a sec. I get her heart's in the right place because she's concerned about her husband, you know, and kudos for being concerned about your husband, but in his, you know, self-esteem. What would a sea of honeydew melons do for a quote-unquote balding man other than to tell you not just that these men are, you're not as nearly as bald as these men, but you can be, and you'll probably get there. So to surround him with bald heads, I don't understand what the point of the party was, but
I think he was just trying to be like, you're not balding at all. Look it. If you're balding, you'd start to be looking like this.
Imagine being on display for someone else's self-esteem.
Well, that's why, because I was going to say the demands they make are pretty rough. We'll talk about that. So they decide to have this party and they figure out, they'll call up the,
like, do we know any bald men to invite, right, them over?
And Fred's like, oh, I don't know.
Do we get for something like this?
I don't
this?
Know.
Not They're both me. Looking at him, but not really mentioning him because they don't want to insult
like,
him.
Do you want? And he's like, want what? So that, like, say it, go ahead. A cup of coffee?
Yeah. No, I'm good, thanks.
They get the shop owner to invite a bunch of people over
because of course he has a whole booklet, you know, customer, yeah, list of bald men,
exactly, that none of the stuff he sold to worked, right, because they're still just as bald.
It's a good point.
When he is selling that,
it's a good point, them, he brings over three bald men.
Well, yeah, and he says there's six more coming. And then he said the only way they're going to take off their hats is if she makes them dinner or gives them dinner and pays them $10.
Each.
Each.
Yeah.
I was like, how do you have the right to offer someone that?
Like,
he didn't know if she had that money. You
That's
know?
Really, like, that was really, yeah, to get them to come. He promised them dinner and each $10. So she goes behind that clock that's on the brick wall and for emergency money, which is really awkward because they're all staring at her. Now they,
right,
all know where
now
the secret hiding
the
place is.
Money is.
So
yeah,
it's $100 that she has back there. Of course, that's going to be gone in 2 seconds because she counts out $10 each. And then the last 10 for the shop owner, because turns out
who
he's also bald because he has a toupee.
That's a full-on wig, isn't it? Because the toupee just goes on the top, right?
Oh, was it a full-on wig? I didn't notice.
Yeah, because
it's all gone.
The whole
thing.
It's like
a cap. You're right.
Thing. Yeah.
It's like a cap.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My thought, at least, was at least she doesn't have to give them dinner when she calls Ricky.
Yeah.
And,
okay. I mean,
right?
That,
I'd hope so.
I would rather have to give money to each of these than either figure out how to drive everybody to dinner or bust out
that
a dinner
would be
at home.
Even more expensive than $100.
I would rather not. Plus the hassle of it wouldn't even be worth it at that point.
No.
To do all that. But anyhow, they comes in. Oh, well, first Ricky calls.
Yeah.
And she's excited because he's like, you know, he's going to come home. He's going to come see all these bald heads. And he's going to be cured of this, you know.
This is her treatment.
This is her treatment. And he says he can't make it. And she's like, why not? There's a new bald treatment. You know, I wanted to try on you. Bald treatment sounds like she's trying to get him to be bald, but a treatment for baldness.
Shave your head.
Yes.
That's what baldness looks like.
And so he's like, I can't make it. I got to stay for work. And so she's upset because not only is she out $100, she's got these people coming over to her home. You know, she's got a whole thing planned. So she is frustrated now because now it's costing her more than just, you know, an ego boost for Ricky. So then Fred walks in
with his wig,
with his toupee, with his wig, with hair, which is hilarious. And I think the last time, or one of the times we see him with, you know, quote unquote hair, is when they're trying to do a flashback of when Ricky and Lucy met. And
so it's
a young Ethel and a young Fred. Of course, young Fred has hair. So, you know, they kind of slap it on his head, which is funny because our eyes can't comprehend that he's not bald. But yes, so it goes, oh, thanks for coming. That even things out now because he takes off his hat.
Yeah.
He's got hair and everybody else is bald. So she's just had enough. And she says, I can't do this anymore. So I'm going to do something that's going to scare him out of it. And so torture system, here I come. She's going to try all these awful things that she saw at the store and overdo it and not, you know, probably not work it the way it's supposed to be and just throw everything at him.
Make it as painful as possible. And so he comes in with the beret.
Is that what it is? Yes, it's very continental.
Very continental.
Yes.
He's got a beret on. He sits down and she starts doing these treatments on him.
Yeah.
The first thing she uses is a Stimulax scalp massager, which you can buy brand new still from like Walmart and Amazon. So they still make this exact same thing. It looks exactly the same. And it was mainly used by barbers, but I guess now you can just buy it for your home.
Yeah. Well, they also have like those, you know, like kind of like fork looking things for scratching your head. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, so they have all kinds of things. But yeah.
After that, the stimulation, she uses the vibrating brush.
Mm-hmm.
She can still buy one of.
And the eyes, the look on his face while she's trying all these things, his eyes are always bulging out. And so he's like, what is happening? He's letting it happen because he's hoping that by tomorrow he's got a full head of hair. Yeah.
Exactly. Right. And so she uses those two things. And then she starts talking to him about needing to put on a stocking.
Yeah. And
this is really funny.
So she hands him a stocking and, you know, first he puts it on his leg because he's like, I don't know how this is going to help with my hair growth, but I'll do it anyway. She's like, no, it's for your head. So then, of course, he puts it on his head. She's saying like a cap, like a Santa hat, you know, and he puts it on his face, which is horrific to look at. It squishes your nose, your lips, your eyes all into like a pancake. And the idea for Ricky to pull the stocking over his head and look the way he did was actually from Lucy's real life. One Halloween, friends of Lucy and Desi's came to their house wearing stockings over their head. What a scary visual that is. And Lucy was scared stiff at that sight. So would I. Oh my God. That's horrible.
And be like, okay, bye-bye. You can leave now.
Yeah,
just take those off and leave.
So that's where that
came from.
We
don't have a party here.
Bye-bye. Yeah. And so the torture system that she starts with was, of course, with oil, vinegar and eggs.
And he's like, just add some anchovies. Yeah. It'll be a Caesar salad.
He's just letting it all happen. He's so desperate. He's just letting all of it, you know, happen. She's just pulling his hair, his head back and forth. She's, you know, mixing.
I love how she says
egg.
There's a nice, healthy red glow. And he's are you sure it's not blood?
Yeah.
So he's getting this whole treatment. She ends up putting the mustard plaster on him, which I think mustard is supposed plaster. To be like hot.
Yeah, it's like a,
because she takes it right off the stove and then like throws it on his head.
Yeah, some sort of batter.
Oh, we forgot the plunger before the mustard plaster.
Really good. She grabs the plunger and starts sucking his head back and forth, the poor guy. And he's just letting it happen. And so he's supposed to bake for 20 minutes and it every other night.
Every other night for 6 months. She like tried to, I know, she tried to say like what can be the most amount of times.
Mm-hmm. Should I make it worse?
In the longest period of time possible. To make it the worst. Exactly. And then he's like, well, you know what? I do feel tingling.
I'm sure
you
he
can
does.
See it kind of like dawning on her like, uh-oh, he thinks this is good. And he's like, you know what? I think we should do it every night, so it goes in faster. So it didn't work obviously at all like she expected it. And that is the end of the episode.
Yeah, that was pretty quick.
It was a pretty quick episode, but there's a few things we should talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Was that one, the episode was supposed to end differently.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It was supposed to end with the bald men party at the end.
Yeah.
And then Ricky was going to call and say, you know what? I saw a photo of myself from 15 years ago.
Right. And it still wasn't that
same
bad.
Amount of hair. Yeah. Yeah, or if not more.
And as you can tell, that doesn't exactly fall.
Yeah. That would be
something missing.
As soon as it ran through once, Jess Oppenheimer was like, nope, this isn't going to work. And they rewrote it real quickly, changed it around a bit.
So we have to end with that kitchen scene.
The high note. We have to end with
a high note.
But the second thing that Jess Oppenheimer would say was that he had a lesson. This episode was basically a lesson on how to not do a Lucy show. And what he's talking about is the fact that the episode is around Ricky.
Oh, yes. Drawing attention just
the center to
Ricky. To
him, right? Yeah. Lucy's over here. She's playing like the concerned housewife. I know that she's, you know, kind of mocking him a little bit at first, but like she does actively try to help him, you know? Mm-hmm. So she's playing this concerned housewife, and all the slapstick type comedy or everything really falls on Desi. And Jess Oppenheimer said the best Lucy episodes always focused on Lucy and her problems or idiosyncrasies. He also said if anyone was going to get goop spilled on her, it had to be Lucy. Yes. And I think, you know, you can kind of see it, like as funny as the ending episode was, you know, Ricky's go-to comedic physical comedy is eyes bulging. Like you were saying, like his mm-hmm. eyes are always mm-hmm. big. Lucy just has so much more, you know, that whole, like she was the emojis before there were emojis. She
right.
just, mm-hmm. her face was so expressive that she could really throw, you know, so many emotions in such a small period of time. And so I kind of get what he's saying.
But yeah.
What did you think of this episode? I mean, I thought.
Well, yeah. Centering it around Ricky. You don't really pay attention to that until you do, because it's always Lucy getting into trouble trying to do something for Ricky, to Ricky, with Ricky, you know. But it's, you know, but the title to me implies that he's going to be the center of attention, kind of mm-hmm. like Lucy gets Ricky on the radio. Lucy is still in the title. She is not in any of the title. So I assume that he's going to be the center of this episode. You know, Lucy does this to Ricky. Lucy, and you know, she's always the center. So
it could be like Lucy helps a balding Ricky.
Yeah.
And then that could be, you know,
Lucy, you know, tortures Ricky with balding or something. I don't know. But the fact that it's just him being mentioned. If you didn't know the title of the show, let's say you never heard of the show and you don't know the title of the show, you think it's just about this character, Ricky. So maybe the mistake here was centering it. Well, not mistake. It still worked. But I'm saying to his thought, the way you don't do a Lucy show is you don't make it about somebody other than her.
Lucy.
Just because she's the main focal point of, you know, every episode, as it should be. You know, Ethel never is the main character, even when visiting Ethel's hometown. I think that's the most Ethel was given a light, you know, to shine on her. It's only funny because of what Lucy is doing with the others. So yeah, I get what he's saying, but it still stood out as her being, you know, torturing him with all of these treatments. And that made it hilarious because she's just going on and on. But I do think this is one of those episodes where nobody in their right mind would behave the way Lucy did in this episode. If someone tells you they're going bald, you're not going to do all these things.
Maybe you'll
make an appointment with your husband to go see your dermatologist, and that's as much as you do. But all of these things, it's a little much. But yeah, it was good. It was funny, and
I like this episode.
Yeah, I think we have one more left.
We do
of this season. Of this season, and then we'll move on to season two, which is kind of cool. Yeah, if you guys
be a big
have
day.
Listened to our recent episode, we just did a part one and part two of The Story of Bob Crane. So please check that out if you haven't, where we speak about his career, Hogan's Heroes, of course, and his unfortunate death. We do talk about that. So that's part one and part two. And hopefully you guys let us know what you think and suggest anything else you want us to discuss.
Yes. Any other mysteries, Hollywood mysteries? It doesn't have to be murder.
No, people can stay alive.
Yes, they can be alive. It just has to be a mystery.
Mysterious.
In Hollywood.
Yeah. So find us on Having a Ball Pod on Instagram, Having a Ball Podcast, Facebook, Having a Ball Pod at gmail.com. Send us emails. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.